Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Heat alerts for 40 million Americans remain as officials urge folks to stay indoors. Phoenix shattering a record with its now 23rd straight day of heat in excess of 110 degrees. And in Palm Springs,
brutal heat taking lives. Last week, 18 people passing away due to heat-related illness. And officials at the Maricopa County Department of Public Health investigating nearly 70 other deaths as possibly caused by the extreme conditions.
ABC's Zareen Shaw in Palm Springs, where Mayor Grace Elena Garner told ABC's This Week they're seeing an uptick in health issues related to the spike in temperatures.
We do see our firefighters attending to more heat-related incidents, and we see more heat-related incidents at our hospital.
Local officials say at least one person died, 22 others wounded when Russia struck the Ukrainian Black Sea city of Odessa again today. In a series of tweets, Twitter owner Elon Musk saying he'll change the name of Twitter to just the letter X, either today or tomorrow. This is ABC News. Soon we shall bid adieu to the Twitter brand and gradually all the birds. That's the latest word from Twitter owner Elon Musk, who's weighing another major change to the platform.
When asked if he's serious about changing Twitter's bird logo, Musk commented yes, and it should have been done a long time ago. In a follow-up tweet overnight, Musk wrote, "If a good enough X logo is posted tonight, we'll make it go live worldwide tomorrow." X is an apparent reference to Musk's plan to create a super app by that name, incorporating everything from social networking to private messaging to e-commerce. Twitter's logo has been a cartoon bird since the company's founding. The company's website calls it Twitter's most recognizable asset. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Rising tensions between China and Taiwan. Beijing with a show of force ahead of Taiwan's annual military exercises. Dozens of Chinese fighter jets and bombers flying toward Taiwan and crossing the midpoint of the Taiwan Strait, the unofficial buffer zone. China sending 37 planes in 24 hours. Dave Pack, ABC News.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new stunning lineup.
That's awesome.
Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Ancrud. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. This summer, things are heating up on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skill through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Beaches are supposed to be for people to enjoy, but a high number of Great Lakes beaches in Wisconsin tested for potentially dangerous levels of bacteria last year. Mike Moen has more.
In its latest Safer Swimming Summary, the group Environment America notes 63% of beaches tested in the Great Lakes region last year had at least one day of fecal contamination that exceeded the EPA's beach action value. That tool helps states determine whether a beach is safe enough to go swimming. Environment America's John Rumpler says the results underscore how much pollution is plaguing areas meant for the public to enjoy.
All too often, hundreds of America's beaches have enough pollution to put swimmers at risk. And that's just unacceptable.
The report's authors looked at data for more than 3,000 samples across the U.S. that were sent to the EPA. For Wisconsin, more than 100 beaches were tested last year. 76 had at least one day of potentially harmful levels of the bacteria in question. Sources of pathogen pollution that can make swimmers sick include stormwater runoff and sewage overflows. And in the Midwest, Rumpler says there's concern about the presence of so-called factory farms.
It's possible that manure from some of those animal operations is also contributing to the kind of bacteria that we're seeing on these beaches.
The report recommends putting moratoriums on industrial-scale livestock operations or adopting policies that stop manure from flowing into waterways. Another listed solution is repairing and modernizing sewage systems. Those types of infrastructure projects stand to benefit from the bipartisan infrastructure law adopted by Congress in late 2021. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your...
Got to the marsh at 2:45, 8 other rigs, and we're in the lead. Been scouting that hole for about 2 weeks.
What is up, Wisconsin? Welcome to Raised in Wisco. You're listening to 1510 AM WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw. Raised in Wisco, I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside co-host Danielle Fairman. What is up, Danielle?
Did you say 1510 a.m.?
Yeah.
Isn't it 5:40 a.m.?
5:40. Oh, my God. You know why I said that?
Why?
Do you know why I said that? My first job in radio in my life was at WAUK. And WAUK's call letters, call numbers were 1510 a.m. WAUK.
Oh, so you're having a little flashback moment.
I had a little, it must have been the mushrooms I ate in college. You know what? I'm joking about that. The only mushrooms I ever ate in college were like portobello. Whatever I cooked
and
with.
And whatever was in the can.
Nothing actually extremely fun. My roommate, Matt, however, on the other hand, that was a different story. That's a story for a different show. He was... He was the lizard king. He can do anything.
Oh.
How was your week?
Oh. My week has been busy because it's been so hot outside with work and construction.
Yeah, well, it's hot for anything, but if you have a job outside right now, it is smoking hot. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, Anastasia, how was your week? You've been pulling yeoman's duty, haven't you?
I have, Joel. I have been kind of living out of the Waukesha studio these past couple days.
Yeah, and you're helping crew out on the Devil's Advocate show and everything like that. Well, a heartfelt thank you to you for all the work that you've put in and still caring enough about Raised in Wisco and the tenets of getting the great outdoors into the minds and souls of the great citizens of Wisconsin. So thank you, Anastasia, for showing up and helping us out.
She only comes to this show because of Bandit, right?
Well, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly okay with if she comes to the show for the dog. That's just fine. I mean, why do you think we bring the dog to the fishbowl? We're at the fishbowl right downtown Waukesha. Swing by and say hi if you want. You can tap on the window or even walk right in.
With food.
Here's the thing. You talk about how hot it is right now.
I do.
And my brother-in-law, we live next door. We share property in the back. And he is already out planting food plots right now. So we say it's the middle of summer, and whenever I bring this up, my wife gets so mad at me. She says, I say after June 21st, the days start getting shorter.
They do.
And you can already tell it, and every once in a while in the evening, even on the hottest days, you can get that little scent of fall in the air, that little feeling of fall coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, we are now, so what is it, July 20th today? We are now less than 2 months. Geez. We're
I think I posted 40.
We are 1 month and 11 days from the opening of goose season.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
I just got
goosebumps.
It's sneaking up.
Do you get goosebumps? I mean, do you just call them bumps when it's goose season?
Your
Speaking
such
of
a dad joke.
I know. I can't help it. It's all right. People love my dad jokes. I do not. I know that I look like a svelte 35-year-old man, but I am in reality 52 years old, which makes it our guest. One of the cool things about having our guest today is we're going to talk about this. I'm 52 years old, but that does not stop me from hunting geese five, 6 days a week. And I'm out there, I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning, hitting the field and setting up decoys, hauling the gear back and forth on the fields because more and more farmers don't care for you to drive on their fields, which is understandable and fine.
Oh, yeah.
And getting that workout. But I can't give it up. And we are lucky enough, Danielle, we're lucky enough to have one of the premier goose hunters in the state of Wisconsin joining us today. I don't even know if he knows that.
I'm excited that it, see, this is what happens in the waterfowl industry. People let you know who they know. Like, I asked another person, I'm like, hey, do you know anybody I can bring onto the show that has great knowledge and can be
able
to
talk to us? Well,
let's not
blow his head up too much before he dispels that great knowledge on the air,
the schmuck over here. Is that better?
There you go.
Yeah, perfect.
The schmuck over here.
Greg Brinkman. Greg Brinkman incites fear in the hearts and minds and souls of everyone who wants to try to get permission on a goose field. Because this guy, and I know him, I have a parasocial. Do you know what a parasocial relationship is? That is like what everybody has now because we feel like we know each other because of the social media. We literally feel.
True.
I have a parasocial relationship with Greg Brinkman. And that means that I feel like we've met, like I know him because I see his posts. I know he's a dog guy. I can tell you that. I know that he is one hell of a goose hunter because he's out in the fields. And I know he's got a high degree of success.
Did you look at his face? Sorry, we're going to be talking all about you right now real quick.
You'll get your turn to talk, Greg.
Did you see all the freaking pile pictures?
Piles make smiles.
You were hunting in like flooded timber or something?
Yeah, down south.
I wanted you that so bad.
Yes. Greg Brinkman travels to hunt, which I also appreciate. You know that I love traveling to hunt. I love traveling to hunt big game as well. But my heart and soul belongs to waterfowl and turkeys. To the birds of the state of Wisconsin. And I have so many things I want to talk to you about because I want to dispel some rumors about, well, not about Greg, but about those of us who get, who have so much success in the waterfowl industry. I mean, our group last year shot, we killed and ate more geese than we ever have. It was a stellar year. And everybody thought it was going to kind of be an off year. Seems like the migration shifted slightly. We had a little less water than we did the year before. But the year turned out to be absolutely stellar last year. And what I want to know, if you had to put it, Greg, into one term as to what is the most important key to waterfowl success, what do you think you'd say it was?
Scouting.
Yep.
Scouting. That's hunting. Showing up on the day where the birds are going to be and sitting on the X, that's killing. Mm-hmm. That's shopping. That's when you're going to take the meat to the table. But I have to tell you, did you know the average person who gets a waterfowl license in the state of Wisconsin shoots 2 items of waterfowl per season.
Two? Well, more for us,
I guess. The average person who hunts waterfowl, who gets the tag and hunts waterfowl, shoots 2. The average person.
But why are they only shooting 2? What was the reason? So, did they shoot 2 and be like, okay, I got this, I'm happy with this, I'm going to stop? Or is it because they're just unsuccessful?
I think it's a combination of things.
Like, what who are these people?
Greg?
Give us a call.
I think you just, you know, you put in the work and you get the rewards. That's basically what it comes down to, you know, with scouting and all that stuff, you know.
Now,
I've heard 90% of the birds are killed by 10% of the people. I've heard that before, and it kind of makes sense with, you know, what you just said.
I don't know if it breaks down that methodically.
Right.
Because that's like a saying.
Yes.
But I'll bet you it's damn close to that.
Yep.
I would bet money that it's damn close to that. And I'm going to tell you why. You got a guy like Greg who's probably killing, you know, 400 geese himself. Not talking about his crew. He's probably killing 200, 300 geese, whatever near the limit is, 3, 4, 5 days a week, right? I'm killing hundreds of geese. You're mm-hmm. killing probably 100 or more geese, right? So think of all the people who buy the license in the state of Wisconsin and kill zero geese. Or, I mean, if the average is two and you've got hardcore waterfowlers out there killing hundreds, think of how many people buy that license and then never have the joy of it. And I think that the
it'd be heartbreaking.
Well, I don't know that
they're
it's
also still experiencing that great outdoors and hopefully getting to know other hunters out there and knowing what the reasoning is behind what we do.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. But I think more, I think the reality of it is that a lot of people who call themselves hunters, who say they want to be hunters, they don't want to put the actual work into mm-hmm. hunting. But I'm going to tell you this. It's not that hard.
It is easier for me to find deer hunting land to hunt land to hunt deer than it is to find waterfowl fields.
Really? That blows my mind.
I am terrified to go dot. Like, not gonna lie, my hands are like sweaty already to go talk to a farmer to hunt waterfowl on their land. Like,
really?
That one land that I talked to you about before that,
that is diametrically opposed to my experience.
No,
that's 180 for me.
That's what Bill always says. He is just dumbfounded by it. He's like, how can you just walk up to somebody and talk about hunting and then all of a sudden you end up getting 40, 50, 60 acres to hunt deer? But then you can't go to this farmer that has hundreds of geese in the field, like at that point in time, because then I feel like, well, I'm imposing on him and all this kind of stuff. I have to use his land. I have to use this. I don't know. I'm trying to convince myself.
I'm going to tell you this.
I have one land. I have one piece of property for waterfowl hunting. That's it, and I'm happy. I'm going to stay right there.
I'm going to tell you this, Danielle.
Like, my palms are sweaty.
Okay, instead of having sweaty palms, you should put your palms together and thank the dear Lord that that's how it works out for you. Because Greg will testify, and I will attest to the fact that 49 out of 50 people who give you permission to hunt are going to let you hunt geese or turkeys
before
they're going to let you hunt deer.
So yes. Turkey property is perfectly fine. But
deer is the holy grail of Wisconsin.
There's a lot more people that hunt deer than waterfowl,
experience. Not really, your experience.
For
me, numbers tell the story.
I mean, it's Wisconsin.
Well, I also think it's because when I go up there, I'm usually by myself and I'm already terrified. And I'm like, hi, I don't even know how to talk to you about letting me hunt on your land about waterfowl. With turkey, it's fine. They're all like, yeah, if you want to come back for turkey, no problem. But when it comes to waterfowl, I'm like, well, is it just you? How many people are you bringing? They're asking me all these questions and I'm telling them and
my experience,
and then it's just like, well, no, sorry.
Part of it is, if you're a landowner and you're a farmer, and Greg, please jump in here because I want to learn your experiences in this regard as well. Part of it is that farmers, obviously, they don't want a constant parade of people traipsing in their land or driving in their land. So if they've already given, mm-hmm. if there's a field with hundreds of geese in it, chances are you're not the first person to stop and ask. That's the tough part, becoming the first person to stop and ask. And secondly, I don't know any farmers who love geese. I don't know any who even like them. In fact, most of the farmers I know see every animal that they don't own as something that's eating into their profits.
Yep.
So, but they've already got cousins, brothers, daughters,
twice removed
sons who are gonna hunt the deer. All right, we're done with this. We're gonna come back. Greg Brinkman and I are gonna talk about pile picks. How important are they when we get back on Raised in Wisco? Talk about pile.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the project, Lincoln Project, that is, that this is authoritarianism and the early, as Matt Flynn likes to say, the little cat's feet of fascism creeping in.
And the next time I see Scott Walker tweeting about Ronald Reagan taught us, there's never been a bigger bunch of balderdash ever perpetrated on people.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Voss, so I called Robin Voss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back and the phone got picked up and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to The Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What if I just, instead of giving out the talk and text line, just started giving up Robin Voss's number all the time?
He needs to hear from us. He needs to know.
It's 844-96-PARTY. What is it?
Write it down. 608-237-9163. Call now.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the civic media app.
I'm damaged goods, I'm complicated. I sure do know how to tell a lie.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman on 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw. And check us out across all civic media on the weekends at 11 o'clock. 13 stations, Danielle, across the great state of Wisconsin. Look at us grow.
And then you can listen to us on Spotify and Apple. Better yet, give us a call.
Yeah, Danielle knows all those fandangled intranet stuff.
That slang. What's our phone number, Joel?
That's not funny. I never remember our phone number.
This is our phone.
I know it starts with 847, though, doesn't it?
844.
844.
967.
I've seen you looking around the room looking for it.
It really should. 2789. Give us a call if you want to talk. Hearty shout out to our loyal listeners, the Kennedys out in Oconomowoc. I can't, so I have to just sideline this story real quick. Okay. So we go to... So Aiden's birthday was Monday.
Oh, okay. Nice. Happy birthday.
Aiden's birthday. New hunter. Took him out for the first time turkey hunting in the fall.
Yeah.
He got a hen. Then I took him this spring and he got a like a super Jake, you know, nice. Between a Jake and a Tom. And he was so excited.
Awesome.
And so for his birthday, his parents bought him and I chipped in a little bit to get him a shotgun. To get him his first gun ever, right? So we go to Cabela's, and we're looking at the guns, and we kind of had our hearts set. I mean, you can get a, you can get a, like a really decent pump action shotgun for like $350.
Yeah, they ain't much.
Yeah,
like
ain't
a really good one, like a Winchester SXP, or you know,
nobody wants a pump action anymore. So
well, see, I think I'm of the school of thought that your first gun, first shotgun, should start always with one. Be a pump action.
Mine was.
Yeah, mine was too. But I think it also teaches you, you know, when you got that semi-auto and you're shooting waterfowl, it's pop, 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 and it's done. Yep. Those three shots. When you have a pump, you're forced to acquire your target. Acquisition is forced to reacquire your target. It's also a basic gun to learn the basic principles, and it's a very safe firearm because it's not every time you press the trigger a shell's going off. You got to reload it with your left hand or your right hand. You got to reload it with one of your shooting arms. I just think it's a great way to start. So we go to did I just say Gander Mountain before?
No, you didn't say Cabela's.
I did say Cabela's. Yeah.
Okay. That would have been very weird.
I hate Gander Mountain.
Well, they don't really exist anymore.
They're
so
kind of gone.
Yeah, good. So, they deserve to be gone.
So we went, geez, Danielle.
Oh, it's a very hateful.
The balls are out.
Holy cow.
I call you out, Gander Mountain.
Don't
you
get on Danielle's bad side, I guess.
Rawr.
So we go there and we look and we're kind of settled in on a on you know on the Winchester SXP. And the guy, John, who was helping us at the gun counter, great guy, couldn't say enough nice things about him. We're about ready to go and start going through the background checks and all that stuff. And he says, wait a minute. Oh. We just had a deal. There was a distributor that, or an organization that went out of business, and we bought all their guns. Now their guns have to be sold as used guns.
Oh.
So we ended up getting, he brought one out. He's like, let me see if there's anything that fits what you want. He brought out a Benelli Supernova, 3.5-inch gun in full Realtree camouflage for $360. No. So the kid ends up with his first shotgun being a Benelli Supernova. I mean, do you think that made his birthday?
Oh, yeah.
It's a sign that he is meant to be.
I think it's a sign, too, because not only is he now hooked on hunting, but he gets this beautiful first shotgun that will last his life, his children's lives, and everything else. So anyway, yeah, now he's going to have to – he's noticing animals in fields he drives by.
How old is he?
Now. He's 21.
Okay.
He's 21. So – but we've made a new hunter out of him, and now he's a gun owner and a safe gun owner. It's just awesome. And we're almost done with the second segment. It's crazy. So we were talking about scouting and getting permission. I think one of the biggest – I think there are three types of waterfowlers. And Greg, I'll be interested to hear your take on it. And Danielle.
The snacker, the sleeper, and the scouter.
Well, that is to a large extent true. But I think you got the guys at the top of at the apex is the men and women who aren't afraid to ask permission. They're the ones who scout, and they'll knock on a door, and they're not afraid of being told no. I think that's the apex, because when you control the field, you control the hunt, right? If you have the fields, you have the hunts. You're the apex on that. Then the second level of people is the people who have the equipment. The decoys, mm-hmm. the layout blinds, the firearms, the stakes, the trailers, whatever it takes to put on the show for the geese, right?
Yep.
And then you have the third level of people, and those are the ones who don't like to knock on a door. They don't own the equipment, but they'll bust their hump in the field for you. So they're the ones who will show up. Now, if you really want to have a crew and have be like the apex waterfowl hunter, you're the guy who gets the permission, mm-hmm. does the scouting, has the equipment, and busts his hump in the field. And I think that is what I try to be when I hunt. And that's probably why people invite me when I don't have a field, because I have
there's always something to offer.
The other two things. Mm-hmm. How do you think that breaks down between hunters?
Yeah, I think you pretty much hit it right on the head with that one. All three of those things are crucial, you know. And, you know, that's what I kind of surround myself with a lot of my hunting buddies over the years. We all put in the effort, and it shows, you know. Just get under the birds and put out a good spread and stuff like that, and it works out.
I think what you just said kind of hits on it too. In reality, is those people who do all of those things end up gravitating toward each other.
Definitely.
But if there's any advice I can give you out there, if you want to be a new hunter, you cannot be those three things as a new hunter.
No,
you got to ask somebody to go with. But if you go, all it takes, and I always say, hey, I don't need to go to Planet Fitness. This is free exercise,
and
right?
And it is exercise.
And yep. It is exercise. Be the guy. If you want to learn how to waterfowl hunt, you want to be part of the waterfowl hunting culture, and you want to learn it, I guarantee someone will take you, because we love interested people.
Definitely.
Yeah, start
but
off by busting your hump.
Go and bust your hump and be the first person to put out a decoy and the last person to pick one up. And pretty soon, you're going to be part of that crew. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco. You're listening to 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw, with Joel and Danielle. We'll be right back.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Heat alerts for 40 million Americans remain as officials urge folks to stay indoors. Phoenix shattering a record with its now 23rd straight day of heat in excess of 110 degrees. And in Palm Springs,
brutal heat taking lives. Last week,
18 people passing away due to heat-related illness, and officials at the Maricopa County Department of Public Health investigating nearly 70 other deaths as possibly caused by the extreme conditions.
ABC's Zareen Shaw in Palm Springs, where Mayor Grace Elena Garner told ABC's This Week they're seeing an uptick in health issues related to the spike in temperatures.
We do see our firefighters attending to more heat-related incidents, and we see more heat-related incidents at our hospital.
Local officials say at least one person died, 22 others wounded when Russia struck the Ukrainian Black Sea city of Odessa again today. In a series of tweets, Twitter owner Elon Musk saying he'll change the name of Twitter to just the letter X, either today or tomorrow. This is ABC News.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
I've been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, the Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time, apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry.
Country boys and women will survive. I almost said boys and girls. I don't know what I can say anymore in this modern era. I'm not sure I can say anything anymore.
It's like we can talk about how easier it is for women to go probably get permission to hunt.
No, you can talk about that. Let's talk about that, Danielle.
Okay, let's talk about
it. Do you think there's a difference?
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco.
Yeah, welcome back. Greg Brinkman, international goose hunting celebrity, has joined us in the studio. Do you feel like a celebrity of goose hunting?
Right now I do, in the way you really keep building me up. Yeah,
see, kind of, it makes sense to come on the show, doesn't it, Greg?
Yeah.
You had no idea how awesome I was, did you, before this?
Not a clue.
See? You had to just guess by Facebook, but now you know the awesomeness that is Joel and Danielle in a cubicle talking into microphones.
I feel like today was Blue Day and we didn't really
I missed that memo.
I was miserable. I started out this morning at 5:30 a.m. in a suit and didn't get it off until 6 o'clock. So I changed into comfy clothes. So if you are watching on Facebook or checking us out over the internets, the webs, the interwebs.
Oh, we're live on WAUK Facebook page as well as my Facebook page.
Oh, that's
Danielle
cool.
Fairman. Look at us. Say hello, everybody.
Good idea, Danielle.
But yes, so for...
What's up? I can't stand profile shots. I look so fat.
Stop doing that.
It drives me nuts.
The camera adds 10 pounds, right?
Well, that's what they say. But actually, if I'm like just here up, I look fine. It's my belly that I can't... That's what's so cool about radio, because I... You have a face for radio. You don't have to worry about it. But that's not even true anymore. You can't have a face for
radio.
You're on radio, and I've got we're on the,
Facebook,
on the civic media,
Zoom,
Facebook.
Yep, there's cameras all
Danielle's
over the place.
Facebook page. I mean, you can't even be rude and crass during the commercials anymore.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't because it's all on Facebook.
We need to stand tall and say no to those snowflakes. You will not rain on my parade.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm not a very politically correct person, but I do try to be sensitive to other people's feelings and on some kind of base level. I don't think that's being a snowflake. So why do you think Danielle's theory is that when it comes to asking permission, that it is you get a higher probability of getting a yes if you are a female.
I do believe that, which not true in my case with waterfowl, but with the deer hunting, I feel like it's easier. For one, we have a different tone of voice, and people don't want to see the disappointment in our eyes when we
when you're told no.
Yeah.
Really?
You think that's it, huh? Maybe people look at us as their sister or their daughter, or how would they want their daughter to feel in the situation? Just like at work.
I'm allowed to say anything.
I think every individual person has a different, you know, they give off a different vibe, whether it's a guy or a girl, you know.
I think you're absolutely right, too. I think one of the reasons that, I don't know, I get a lot of yeses. I do. I get a lot of yeses. I will say that on average throughout all the years I hunt, I would say I probably get a yes 3 out of 5 times.
That's impressive.
2 to 3 out of 5 times. But I think
And I also think the area you're in has a huge factor in that.
Oh, yeah.
No question. I was just going to bring that up. Now, Greg, where's the area you hunt mostly?
Southeast Wisconsin, you know, outside the big cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and it's rough. It's hard to get.
It is rough, but I'm going to tell you something that I certifiably think makes a difference.
What?
Not women, not men. And I'm going to tell you why I think.
Bring in pot pies.
Why I think that I do have potentially more success than a lot of the guys I hunt with. And I think that is just age.
Yep.
I think being a 52-year-old man.
Yeah.
Well, and by the time you're 52 years old. I think folks are thinking this person's they're going to respect my property.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're asking out of sincerity. They're 52.
Right.
They're not chasing sky rats because they don't have a job and just want to chase sky rats and shoot guns and leave casings in the field.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the reasons that I have better success is because I started hunting at age 38. I was already right on the brink of being 40 before I started asking for permission. I think that has a huge thing to do with it.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
When an older person comes to my door, I'm more likely to say yes to an older person because they're more established in their life by that point.
Yep.
And I think they're going to respect other people's property, you know. But I will say, you know, dress at least – I agree with you guys. Dress, you know, when you're in work clothes, you're showing the people you're asking that you have a work ethic.
Yep.
You have a career, not just, you know, a job. And I think those things mentally translate to people, even if they don't outwardly think that. They're thinking, well, this person's a responsible person. And ultimately, we are blessed beyond belief here that other people let us onto their land with loaded firearms to shoot stuff. Think about that for a minute.
Yep.
What an absolute blessing that is.
Can't thank them enough.
To thank them, this is one of the things I always feel that I need to offer is like a, I can help you stack hay. I can help you. I can cook this for you.
There,
so do you guys offer anything? When
always.
You, like, yeah. Right away, do you be like, hey, my name is Greg. I live in this area. Can I hunt here? Like, how do you ask?
Let's hear your ask.
Oh, Greg. Man, your ask. I can't give away all my secrets.
Well, don't give away all your secrets, but.
Just introduce
yourself and honest with them and upfront and, you know, just be polite. I mean, it's straightforward. Just
respectful.
Yeah. You want their respect and hopefully they let you hunt and you give it back to them.
Do you offer like, hey, I'll shoot like 12 geese. Do you want some geese or do you want some fish? Do you feel obligated that you have to offer them something?
Yeah.
Or is it just I think
I think every situation is kind of different. You'll get that vibe from the farmers. For the most part, if they want some geese or some meat, they'll let you know right up front. They'll be like, hey, if you get one, drop it off up here. And you always got to do that.
Oh, yeah.
I think you know my secret, Danielle.
Pot pies and your charming personality.
Goose pot pies. It is an old omen, and it is true today as it ever was. The best way to someone's heart is through their stomach.
Oh, yes.
And that is a fact, and it's man, Jack. Woman, or child. And I make goose pot pies, and I'm not joking with you. They are the bomb. They are so good. I could eat, like, an entire one myself every time I start eating them. They're so good.
For as long as I've
known
you, I don't think I've ever had one of
your Don't start with me, Danielle. You have eaten plenty of my wild game.
Yeah, but not a pot pie.
I've never even heard of a goose pot pie, I don't think.
Oh, my gosh. They're so good.
You can turn any meat into a pot pie.
It's true. I just don't think I've ever heard of it before.
Mine is a fish. Here's the thing. Fish.
In order to, and we wax cooking on this show quite a bit, but in order to get, so when people talk about gamey taste of an animal, of a wild animal, what they're talking about is the flavor that is in the enzymes of the meat. So the enzymes are the base of a meat. So what breaks down a base? You learned this in science in high school. An acid, right? Mm-hmm. So you can break down that enzyme three different ways. With an acid, so lemon juice, lime juice, vinegar, you know, apple cider. You're going to break down that enzyme in the meat. Second is heat over time. Crock-pot cooking, instant pot cooking. And third is physical grinding. You can break down the enzymes by physically grinding them. That's why, like, goose that's ground doesn't taste the same as goose that's a steak.
As a breast, yeah.
So when I do that, I'm going through all those. I use lemon juice or lime juice. I personally like key lime juice in my when I'm cooking the breast. Then they're going to go in the instant pot. And then the best thing that everybody throws away, that juice that is left in there called the stock. When you make something in a water mixture, that stock that's left in there, use that as the basis for your gravy, which is just a roux, which is oil and flour mixed together. And then you add the liquid to it. Once it bubbles, it thickens. I'm getting hungry.
I'm so hungry right
now. I'm so hungry.
Why don't we ever bring food?
Well, because I try to stop eating at 6 o'clock and the show starts at 7. Yeah. I clearly try, because I'm clearly not successful or I wouldn't still be fat.
Stop calling yourself fat.
Okay. What do you want me to cut? Full figured, Rubenesque?
Perfectly big boned. Proportioned.
Big bone. I'm large bone.
There you go.
So I deliver pot pies to the farmer. And what that does, that accomplishes more than just appreciation. Like, you can drop off beer. And some farmers, they'd prefer you drop off a six-pack of beer or a bottle of whiskey. And that's great. If you want that, God love you, man. You are a farmer. You deserve to sit down with a cocktail at the end of the night.
Sure do.
Chill.
Thank you, farmers.
You know, but when you drop off something you've made, or even if you bring them hot sticks or, you know, sausages or brats or whatever that you made out of your venison, you're giving them a few things. You're saying, I care enough about you to come back and bring you something, first of all. That's the first thing. Second thing is, you're saying, not only do I care enough about you to bring something, but I care enough about you to put my own personal hard work into it. And then the trifecta for me is, I will bring the pot pie with the geese in and say, this is from the geese we killed on your property. This is why you allowing me to come here is good for everybody. And I think, That may be, I don't know. Greg, am I looking into it too deeply?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, building a relationship with the farmer is huge. Like getting that initial yes, you know, obviously that's important and probably the most important part of it. Maybe not. But, you know, going back.
Well, I think getting that initial yes is the most important part.
I mean, obviously that's starting.
That's the start of a relationship.
Correct. Yeah, and then after that, you know, year after year, you never know. They might have more property up the road that, hey, we trust you now. You're a good guy or girl. And, hey, I got another parcel up the road that there's a ton of birds using that. Go get them.
Are you a turkey hunter?
I am a huge turkey hunter.
Yeah. So how many times it's happened to me where I'm hunting the birds, like they'll be like, oh, well, geese is fine, but no turkeys or deer. And then after a while, they're like, well, you know what? It's all right if you want to come out and hunt a turkey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I've had a couple places where that's even turned into deer over time. And one of the things that I think a lot of people don't consider is life's about experiences. You hear me say that all the time, yes, Danielle, right? Life's about experiences, not things. You tell me where you're going to get the experience of becoming friends with cooler people than when you start developing relationships with these landowners. And they could be the farmer. They could be the landowner who leases to a farmer. But once you start, you know, having that relationship of caring about their land, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, I mean, I've had where I've gone out to fish fries with farmers mm-hmm. who've owned property, and you become friends with them. That's invaluable.
Yes, yep. 100%.
And guess what farmers know? Other farmers.
Yep.
And pretty soon they're saying, well, you know, Bob down the street, he don't like them ducks and geese crapping all over the place. You know, he might let you come out too. It's a very much of a spider web effect. In fact, one of the mm-hmm. craziest stories I've ever, this is just nuts. So I see geese in a field over in Sullivan. I knock on the farmer's door. Farmer says, well, I don't really let anybody hunt. And I said, well, would you consider letting me hunt one or two times? Yeah, okay, I'll let you hunt one or two times. I go out there and hunt. I bring a pot pie back. We get to talking. He's like, you know what? You can hunt, but only two people. Okay. Well, then the next year it was three people. Now he lets me bring four people.
Aww.
And the third year into it, his wife is doing genealogy. She shows me a picture. She says, do you know, does this look familiar to you? It's a picture with my dad in it.
What?
Turns out the farmer's husband's grandma was my grandfather's sister. So now I'm related to the people. My second cousin is the people whose property I was hunting on. So now I say I'm going to go hunt at my cousin's, the Payne's farm.
Wow.
And now we've become very good friends with them. Daryl and Tammy
That's
Payne,
wild.
They're wonderful. I'm related to them, literally second cousins to the guy.
And you would have never known him or met him if it wasn't for that.
Never known him in a million years if I didn't knock on his door.
It's really neat.
And
like
his wife. That's a cool story, isn't it?
It is.
I text now, I'm like, hey, cousin, any chance I can hunt turkeys
on
Friday?
Turn down family.
No, they're great. They've become very good friends of ours.
Oh, wow.
And we got one segment left with the world famous
Craig
Brinkman. Who's got a lot of insight? Danielle Fairman, Joel Clayfish will be right back on Raised in Wisco on 540 AM, WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw. Okay, 101
Hi, I'm Joey Erickson from Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, and here are some events that are coming up in our community.
On July 19th, the Committee of the Whole meeting will be held at 5 p.m. in Amory City Hall. In the meeting, discussion will occur relating to any changes being made in the municipal government. The financial health as well as the city's operations will be reviewed during this meeting. On Friday, July 21st, bring friends and family and see the Culpeper and Meriwether Great Combined Circus, sponsored by the Amory Lions Club. The circus takes place in Soldiers Field, located at Harriman Avenue South and Memorial Drive. Show start at 5 and 7 p.m. Get your tickets in advance at Chet Johnson's Drugstore or Innovative Planning Group in Amory. And on July 26th, stop by Michael Park, enjoy a free concert, listen to the Rowe Family Singers Bluegrass at 6 p.m.
If you have an event you'd like us to tell others about, let me know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us and we'll tell the community all about it. Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
All alone, you're probably sitting home drinking something strong, wishing I was there with a good buzz, the two of us.
Man, Corey Michael is a true talent, isn't he?
I'm learning.
He really is. He hangs out in Nashville, and he's playing a lot more gigs and everything. But he's got some. He's got a song that kind of went national on a commercial, "Waist High Water." We listened to that a while back. And I'm gonna tell you what. He was in town for a wedding, for Dave Nelson's wedding. Played that, and he was just in town a little bit ago, and so he gets to Wisconsin from time to time. A nicer guy you would never meet, and this guy, he picks up the guitar and just has a silky country voice, and he's just phenomenal. And some of his songs, I mean, his songs, they're hits, and you're going to see more of Corey Michael. I guarantee you that he's just absolutely dynamite, fantastic
voice,
dude.
We'll yeah, listen,
it's awesome stuff. In fact, we'll keep playing his stuff, and we're going to play some of the middles of his songs, because it's kind of tough when you come to and from commercials. You kind of hear the beginning of songs mm-hmm. a lot of times and don't get into the rocking parts. So we'll play some different parts of his songs. But Corey is not only a good friend, but one hell of a musician, and it is awesome to see. We pitched it earlier, so we better get to it, Greg.
Oh, boy.
Greg, you are like the king. I'm 52, and I post a lot of dead stuff on Facebook, okay? Yep. I post a lot of pictures of my travels and Nilgai and Kudu and Egyptian geese and Canada's. I post a lot of pile pics. I don't post every pile pic, though.
Can't.
I got kids, so I'm posting kid pics, and my kid stuff gets way more likes than my dead animal stuff.
You have some beautiful girls,
well,
though.
That's why. I mean, they're much prettier than my ugly mug and a flop sock of geese in front of me. I mean, how important is it to you to shoot limits? You know, you always hear, piles make smiles, piles make smiles. How important is it to you when you're going out there to get the limit?
Now, I would say, to be honest with you, I think getting out of high school and probably right in my early 20s, I remember saying, like, two more to our limit. We got to get our limit. Mm-hmm. And we were always so concerned about it. And now, as I'm 30, you know, I just turned 30.
Oh, geez.
Yep.
You're so old. I can't believe it.
I'm not trying to rub in your face. I'm just saying.
Oh, for God. I'd give my left arm to be 30 again.
But now I
would
say.
I couldn't have a pump action shotgun, though, if I didn't have my left arm. So
that's true. But I would say now it's, you know, obviously if you're shooting your limit, you had a good hunt, there's good memories, you had a good time with your buddies or family or whatever, but it's not as important anymore. It really isn't. Mm-hmm. Some of the best hunts, you know, are just you and a buddy and just shooting some ducks or whatever it may be. And
or laughing your rear ends off and right. never shooting the gun sometimes. Yep. I think too much emphasis, and I blame social media. I think too much emphasis is placed on pile picks and limits.
Yep.
I agree.
I'm thrilled when I go out there and we get a limit. It's thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
But when that becomes the objective for the Insta, you know, do it for the Insta, do it for the TikTok, do it for the, what, name your other social media platform, whatever it is. I think what has happened in modern waterfowl hunting is that sometimes we've lost sight of what it means to get out there and actually hunt. Hunting is not pile picks. Hunting is not even killing. Hunting is experiencing the great outdoors of Wisconsin. And one of the beauties of waterfowl is doing it with friends and talking. Mm-hmm. You're sitting deer blind. You can't talk. And I promise you this, that son of a gun who gets out of there God blessed blind and is walking around drives me bonkers, but that's exactly when the geese come.
Oh, it works.
Well, that's what we were talking about on a previous episode. It's at the different levels of a hunter. The first one is limits. The second one is getting people out there to do what you do, then food, and then bringing people, teaching your knowledge to others.
Yeah.
And whatever those stages are, but the first stage is let's get those limits.
To kind of comment back on your pile picks, like I think almost at the end of every hunt, maybe not every hunt, but let's say 3/4 of the hunts, we will, you know, me or whoever will the group are hunting, we'll take a picture. We'll still take a picture.
You got to take a picture. Even if there's nothing, you can take a picture.
And, you know, you might have your pile pick, but, you know, it's a memory at that point. You can hold on to that, you know. So
the amount of pictures I take out there. It's ridiculous.
My gosh, one of the greatest picture I've ever seen and I've ever taken was you holding up the goose in the morning sun coming up with the fog on that day. Remember that picture, Danielle?
Yep, definitely.
Was that, like almost 10 years ago now? Eight years ago. That's crazy.
That's definitely my favorite picture.
Yeah, that's a fantastic picture. And I think that is what it's about. And Greg, you've got a real solid group of people that you're out there hunting with. And I know it's not for you about the pile picks, but I think one of the things now you're seasoned. You just said I'm 30. You're seasoned now. And do you guys think, Danielle, how old are you?
35.
30. Holy crud. You guys are catching up to me.
No, we're not.
Well, that's a joke. You can't catch up to somebody.
Years young, man.
And I think you can call yourself seasoned at 30 and 35 and 52. I think part of our obligation is to show people to proliferate this. And even maybe I sound old school. To proliferate the real joys of kind of the fundamentals of waterfowl hunting, which is seeing the sunrise, which is hearing the woods wake up, which is hearing that first flock of geese honking, you know, and you don't see them yet.
Yep.
Okay. So I have this memory of being in North Dakota and hearing all the teal and everything fly above us right before shooting time. And they all land around us, they start feeding. So when it's shooting time, do you shoot those ducks or do you wait for the new ones to fly in?
Oh, man.
I feel like this is a question I like asking because my little heart, I'm like, oh, they're so cute.
Not going to lie. I have like also, I would say, a soft spot for that. And we'll usually try and wait. But there might be some peer pressure in the group at times that say, no, we're not waiting.
Well, it's like I got to throw a rock or something in the water and make them fly.
I think that depends on your stage of hunting at that point in your life. What stage are you? If you're out there with a new kid who's never killed a duck and they're landing around you, as soon as it's shooting time, you can let them try to turn to the side and wait till one of them flies and shoot it. But I think I think the general rule, the general ethical rule is if they land, they're off limits.
Yeah.
Even that solo goose that comes in and lands, you know, you don't usually make him the target.
It's kind of an unwritten rule, I guess.
Good.
Yeah, I think so. Greg Brinkman, awesome to have you on the show. Great to get to know you a little bit. I hope that this continues, and I hope we hunt together this fall.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. We're going to let you play to break. Been a great show on Raised in Wisco. This is Corey Michael, Blame It on the Whiskey. Have a great week. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco.
See you later. When you said you were never going to miss me, blame it on the lies, blame it on the whiskey, blame it on the nights. You ain't sleeping with me. Yeah.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Are you a veteran who needs assistance? Do you know a veteran who needs help? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. We can help connect veterans with services such as medical care, financial and legal assistance, housing, mental health services, substance use treatment, and more. For more information, please visit wisvets.com. That's wisvets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910